8.
Any last words?
7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome everybody to Chuck and Lou. Today's a big day here. We got a guest, of course. And Lou, how was your weekend? We'll get the guest here in a second.
It was all right.
Yeah? What'd you do yesterday? Saturday.
Had a golf lesson at Golf Discount.
Inside?
Yep. Hitting in the cage.
Oh, hitting the cage. What is this, a baseball team?
Nope.
You not there? What were you working on yesterday?
Driver,
all day.
I worked
driver.
My putting for a while though, because somebody was in the cage before
indoor
me.
Indoor putt, and you gotta get the. Come on.
Watching College Game Day too.
Oh man,
watching Charles Barkley.
Man,
make his guest picks.
That's like heaven. Hey, son, get up in the morning. Let's go to Golf Discount and swing the sticks and putt and listen to Charles Barkley.
Yeah,
that sounds amazing. Hey, guess what, Lou?
What's up?
We have a guest tonight. We have Wade Bauslog from Duchesne High School. Wade, how's it going?
It's going well. Thanks for having me.
Man, this couldn't get any better. You know, getting a guy that I literally, you know, I see all the time, and I wonder how does he do it? You know, he plays basketball. And what I'm saying is, we'll get in a little bit later about what he does as far as just getting his team ready and prepared. He's one of the most prepared coaches that I've ever coached against. He really is, and I've heard that from his alumni. But today is my son's birthday, Landon's birthday. And, Landon, can you tell me what happened at your basketball game yesterday morning? What happened?
I threw up 2 times.
He threw up 2 times, you know? He comes on the floor, and he gets to the game, and he vomits at 8:15, and then I put him out on the floor to tell him to toughen up. He vomits again, and we missed the Globetrotters game, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. Were you upset about that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, you know, he got sick yesterday, but, you know, happy 7th birthday to you, buddy. I love you. Hey, guess what time it is?
What?
Bedtime. All right, man.
Bye-bye.
We'll see you later. Thanks for joining us tonight there, Landon.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
See you later. Good job, buddy. So it's always good to get Lando on the show here as Lou steps up to shut the gate on tonight's program. You can't even figure out how to shut the door over there?
You didn't just shut it.
No, Iggy, can you come out from back? We got some problems out here. Iggy, come shut the door. Good golly. Lou. Let's talk about St. Charles West basketball this week, just to get us started. Hey, by the way, we always know that the first episode here, as Iggy tries to get the door shut, is sponsored by Tubby's. And, you know, Ben Tubbin there, Plaza Lanes and Tubby's Pub and Grub. What a great place to go and get some cheap wings and get some pins knocked down there. And
you know how much I love those chicken wings.
You love it. So does Gary Strauss, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, chicken tenders, he goes there on his rec games trip, eats them up. So Gary looks good, though. Have you seen him lately?
Yes.
He's down at least 60, 70 pounds. Looks fantastic doing the scores table there, Coach. I tell you what, you know, football guy, he's starting to eat right and do things the right way. So he's
off-season.
He's off-season. He's putting in time. So, you know, before we move on real quick, Coach, just give me a little rundown on where you're from. Give me your deal. How did you get to St. Charles? And everybody kind of wants to know because, you know, how did Wade get to St. Charles and do such a great job? Give us a little bit about your background.
I think that's a pressing question for people. But I'm kind of a mutt. I grew up in central Illinois, lived in a tiny small town, Kansas, Illinois, over near Charleston, 800 people.
Wow, one of 800.
Yes.
Did you have a gas station and a...
Had a gas station and a little store and a library.
Nice.
There were 16 kids in my class.
So you could get a Gatorade and a book.
Pretty much. And we had four girls in my class, I remember.
What were their names?
I don't remember.
Come on, Coach. There's only four.
I know there's Jana, Jill, there's a Mandy, and maybe Beth. I think that might have been...
Oh, poor Beth.
But then right after my 8th grade year, we moved to Taylorville, which is up near Springfield. So I went to
I'm going to act like I know where that is.
Okay. Okay. Near Springfield, Illinois.
You know
where Springfield, Illinois.
Absolutely.
It's just 30 miles
good
south of there.
Good basketball up there.
Yes, it is. And so I went to 2 years of high school there, and then we actually moved again before my junior year. I moved to Gallatin, Tennessee, right outside of Nashville. So I finished high school down there, went to Middle Tennessee State for college. And then actually, when I realized I wanted to coach, I bugged Don Meyer at Lipscomb University.
Could talk about Don Meyer forever.
Right. So I bugged him to death to let me just come in and be a part of the program. And I got to spend 2 years with their program and learn from
him. So stop right there. Everybody in the basketball sense knows who Don Meyer is. So back up a little bit and tell me how that relationship started.
I knew I wanted to coach. I missed basketball because I didn't play in college. And just got in and, you know, how you get into it. And I missed it because it was something I loved from a young age and grew up around. And there was an article, a big article on Coach Meyer in the Tennessean, the Nashville Tennessean, about him. And he used to host a free fall clinic every year. So anybody could go to that. So I went to the fall clinic and saw it, and I was just like, this is unreal.
Right.
And just got kind of struck up a relationship there, talking to him. And kind of said, can I come in and be a part of it, be around it, just even watch? And he kind of slowly let me insert myself in, and I got to work his camps for 2 years. And then through those contacts, I was able to get into coaching after that. So,
and I think that's kind of how we all get to where we're at. You know, Coach Hollander was kind of my guy, and I see the Meyer things on your Twitter accounts, and I wonder how the heck did he get involved there? And that's fantastic, because everybody knows who that is.
Right.
You know, and just does great things for basketball, and it's a great guy to follow. And as we get started, you know, Coach, tonight we're going to talk about all kinds of things, and we want you just to jump in, let us know. Okay. We've made the joke on the show that Trinity football team could beat Illinois. I don't know if you heard about that, but
I have not heard that, but I'm probably not going to disagree.
Okay, yeah, so. I mean, the spread, we kind of argue about the spread, but I think it would be about 12 or 20, you know, in between there. But Lou, let's talk a little bit of kind of how our show is about Warrior basketball. We'll talk about the Duchenne week. We'll talk about St. Charles High's week. And for the Warriors, you know, we won the MICDS tournament last week. Very emotional week. You know, you play all week long, and then your games on Friday get moved to Saturday, so your prep for Monday gets pushed behind, and then you don't want to practice on Sunday because you've played every day, and you kind of, it's illegal too if you do it 7 days in a row. And next thing you know, I wake up on Monday morning, and here comes Dominic's, you know, zone, and I'm thinking, you know, I got seniors, and let's just play. You know, we had about 2 hours to prep max.
Right.
You know how it is to play Dominic. It's just one of those things when, you know, the kid's got to make plays. Right. And
I got 45 minutes to prep max.
Yeah, I mean, you give Lou and Chuck 45 minutes together. I mean, we can't do a whole lot in 45 minutes, but we were up most of the game, and kid banks one in to send it into overtime, and just a typical Dominic game. You know, every time you play Dominic, you know how it is, Coach.
Yes.
How are your feelings when you go into a game playing Dominic as far as any other opponent?
Well, you just know it's going to be kind of like a Super Bowl-type game where it's big for both teams. And you know that no matter how we've played or they played, that it's probably going to be a close game.
Kind of like St. Charles High, St. Charles West deal with you guys and them.
Yes.
And with us, I always tell my kids, you know, they want to try to play the game in the low 40s. And I don't even think they want to try to. It just happens.
Right.
And next thing you know, you look up and you're like, we can't score points. You know, and that's my biggest thing is we struggle scoring points against them.
Right.
And there'll be phases of the game where I'm like, if we could just play like this the entire game, we'd win by 15 or 20. But that's what they do. You know, they don't let you run your stuff.
No.
They don't let you do what you want to do. He does a good job out there, but at the same time, I think they do have 9 seniors this year, so
that makes a difference.
It does. You know, it's especially when you get down to 4 minutes to go and I'm throwing football guys out there, guys who haven't prayed. You know, it's just one of those deals where you kind of see the writing on the wall. But they're a tough school to play.
They just play really, really hard.
So. And they really do. They really play really hard, and they do the right things at the right time.
Right.
And they never let you go on that 10-0 run. That's what I always say to my guys. When you play Dominic, you're never going to go on the 8-10-0 run. You're going to have to fight the 4-0 runs and kind of fight with that a little bit. So then we moved on. Played Howell North and handled them pretty kindly. Played well, could have played better, was still struggling on the defensive end. Unfortunately, one of our better players got a couple technical fouls and led us into Lutheran North the other night. And, you know, we were a shorter player. I lost by 5.
6.
6. You know, he always tells me how it is. But, you know, one of those games, you're winning most of the game. First quarter, you dominate. And, you know, at the end of the game, you just kind of look around and this player's got to make plays, and we didn't. But our team is just, you know, we're tired. We've played, you know, 2 straight weeks with 3 games. We got 3 games this week. We travel all the way out to Winfield and Warrington, and then a mixture there at Lindenwood. So, Coach, who do you guys have at Lindenwood this week coming up?
We play Howell North on Saturday.
And I think, can you give me a little rundown of how you guys had, in my opinion, in the last, you know, 72 hours of your program has probably, and I could be totally wrong, I'm thinking that your expectations have been a little bit, you know, raised a little bit, because I think you're really proud of what your team did the last 72 hours.
No, I have been. We went into the season losing 9 seniors last year. You don't know what to expect. We had no experience. We're playing some freshmen. We've got a couple pieces that we knew could be pretty good, but they're in completely new roles. So, We played really well, honestly, except for the Cape Central game. I don't think we played well, but that was kind of a, they kind of blitzed us. But yeah, the end of this week has gone really well. So
and you played Trinity on Friday.
Yeah, we played with Trinity. We were down 4 at the half, but we were down 10 going into the fourth. We just really ran out of gas. I mean, they just keep bringing bodies at you, and we can't play more than 6 or 7 kids. And I just thought we ran out of gas there and ended up being 18. But then,
well, there's not too many teams that are not going to run out of gas against them. When I saw the score by quarters there, I thought, you guys obviously had a game plan, which doesn't surprise me at all. But at the same time, you know, that's great for your kids.
No, it was. And I even heard one of our kids say in the locker room as we were kind of going in, you know, guys, we just proved we can probably play with about anybody.
Right.
So I think that gave them confidence. And then we bounced back the next day and played a really good Freeburg team that I saw kind of dismantle some people because he runs a – I thought Coach Hollander ran a lot of sets. He runs – he's like Brad Stevens out there with new sets. And our kids really defended well and really bounced back well and really played well.
Did you scout them? Did you have enough time to get a good scout on them?
Well, that was the issue. That was my biggest fear because I'm big on scouting. Well, the next day we couldn't get in our gym because there was a tournament. So, and then I had two starters and who were actually going to guard their best player were taking the ACT.
Right.
So we had a 50-minute film session, and I basically caught the other two kids up before the game on what we were trying to do, and for them to step in and play well, and really we really guarded them well. It was really pleasing.
Well,
so,
I'm pretty sure you probably didn't know all their sets, but you had kind of an idea of who the best players were.
No, we tried to prepare. Actually, the night before the Trinity game, we went through the Freeburg continuity, which I don't like to do, but I knew we weren't going to have an opportunity to do that. So,
and you're one of the one coaches around that would do that. You know, you're just prepared as can be, and you know. I got to a point, you know, it's hard to as a coach, you know, at times you're like, you know, you got to pick your poison. Who do you want to attack? But that doesn't surprise me one bit. And it had to be nice for your kids probably to come off the Friday night expectations of, oh boy. You know? And they were there.
They were.
And then you wake up on Saturday and you get to do it all over again. And it's like, hey, that had to be – I think you probably would have rather played on Saturday than practiced.
The kids would have.
Of course, every coach wants to practice.
No, but I think it was good. Once you win the game, it's really good because I told our kids, I mean, that's where you're going to have – if you get into your district or you get into tournament settings and you're going to have to play and not have a lot of preparation and bounce back and be ready to go. So to be able to do that, I think was good.
So I think a good week for your kids.
I felt really good about our week. And, I feel good going forward. Just didn't know what to expect, and I feel really good about how they prepared and how hard they've played. And
in the life of a high school basketball coach, 2 weeks ago I was in your shoes. Now I'm going into this week going, Lordy.
Yeah, maybe.
I thought we were the best thing since sliced bread. Now I'm thinking, can we even slice bread?
It's a roller coaster.
So it's a roller coaster, and that's why we do it. We love it. And it's about the kids and making them better people and what they do throughout basketball. So we're going to kind of turn the show over to Lou now. Are you awake over there?
Yes.
I'm just making sure you're alive. Are you okay?
Yes, I'm alive.
And we're going to go into some in-season talk. And what's your focus tonight? Give me the rundown and then start talking.
Oh, we got on tap.
What do we
West
got on
girls
tap?
Girls basketball.
Okay.
St. Charles High basketball.
Yep.
Duchenne basketball.
Yep.
And then we'll touch on some college football things that happened over the weekend. College basketball. Some big Cardinals news.
Goldie,
yes.
Let's just talk about that real quick. I want to get it over with. The best thing that's happened to Cardinal baseball in a long time.
We basically got him for nothing.
We did. We traded a sack of balls. We got Weaver, who is Weaver. He's a 5'10 slurve ball pitcher. Who else we give up?
Carson Kelly.
He's a bum.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
He lost his chance to be the catcher in waiting.
You know, I mean, he's no Tom Pagnozzi.
Yeah.
You know, and then we gave up some second baseman who I have no idea what his name is. We get Goldie. He comes here. We love him. The first 2 months, they just go crazy. They bow down. He hits a couple home runs. He's like, yeah, I'll sign for whatever you want me to because I keep my mouth shut and I kind of am a Cardinal guy. Mm-hmm. Am I wrong?
I don't think you're wrong.
Okay, so
don't jinx it.
What do you think? Am I just not going to talk about it?
No, but I mean, just don't jinx it.
So we're done with the Cardinals.
Let's not go too far.
So let's start talking about some helmets. Give me some football talk.
All right, so last night was the Heisman Trophy presentation. And I was sitting down in my basement with my brother, and I told him Tua's winning it. Not a doubt in my mind.
I could totally see you being like, Tua's got this, you're pacing.
No, I'm not pacing. I was sitting
Who'd your brother have?
Tua.
Oh.
And Kyler Murray ended up winning it. And
it surprised me a little bit.
Yeah, that definitely surprised me. But I also should confer with my sources about who they actually think was going to win. And then during the afternoon, every TV in the house we had Army and Navy on.
Well, that's the only thing to watch. It's either that or the Desperate Housewives or take a nap or eat Halloween candy that's still around.
Shoot out for golf.
Did you?
No, I didn't.
You know what's crazy? I sit here and here comes a text from Coach Bass. Can I get your house center phone? This guy is on it.
Yeah.
You know? He should know better. 8:15, he knows what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah, Army beat Navy 17-10. Army's won 3 years in a row after Navy won 14 years in a row against
Wishbone versus Wishbone.
Mm-hmm. Man, and, President Trump was there too.
He did the you see him toss. Flip the coin?
Yep.
He just kind of tossed it.
He's just like,
oh man, one of the. She's just, you know, if we had Facebook Live, that was a good impression. There's kind of, he had no idea what he was doing.
Yeah. Yeah, obviously. College basketball this weekend. Big game today at Tennessee and Gonzaga.
Coach, you said you watched the first half?
I was watching the first half before I came here. I have not finished it.
Was it a high scoring first half? Or?
It was in the 30s, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Tennessee ended up beating Gonzaga 76-73.
Wow.
So that means Gonzaga, who's ranked number one, probably won't be number one tomorrow.
Who do you think is going to be ranked number one tomorrow?
Duke.
Duke?
Duke.
Why?
Because they're the best team.
Yeah. Are you a Duke fan?
No.
No? Who's your favorite college basketball team? Do you have one? Mizzou, just because it has to be?
Yeah.
Because of Hoodie Rio or?
Oh, I'm a homer.
You are a homer.
Mizzou and SLU.
Mizzou and SLU. Is that cute?
Okay.
Tell me about SLU's week this week.
They lost Southern Illinois on Wednesday.
What a hiccup.
Yes, it is. If it would have been Southern Illinois, Edwardsville, it would have been a bigger hiccup.
No, well, yeah, obviously.
Well, tell you, that would have been a
disaster.
He's been fired.
Yeah, and then they played Oregon State today, beat them by 4.
Mm. So at least they didn't lose to UMSL on the path. You know, that would have really hurt, you know.
Uh-huh.
Tell me about Mizzou.
Or
Mizzou
Quincy, where there's a couple Duchenne boys.
We'll talk about Quincy in a little bit later. We've got some definite St. Charles connections with Quincy here going on right now.
Right.
But tell me a little bit about Missouri. If Missouri played Illinois right now, who wins? Like in 10 minutes, who wins?
Mizzou.
Coach?
I disagree. I don't think you have the guard play.
Tell me why. Tell me who's got the better team.
I don't know. It's going to be interesting it is going to be interesting because of the contrast. Because I think Missouri is much better on the front court than Illinois, but I think Illinois' guards are better. I also wonder if Mizzou can handle the pressure that Illinois is going to bring.
I think it could be almost exactly like last year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the pressure just gets him. But Poirier is not, I don't know. I mean, if you get him on the right block with his left hook, I mean, but can't you nudge him away from that a little bit or not let him get there?
Well, that's where the pressure will, it'll be whether they can handle the pressure to get him the ball.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think they can. I agree with you. I think
it'll all be about Geist.
Oh, you know what? If it's all about Geist, then I'm going to take Illinois and I'm going to give Mizzou 6. Yep. Maybe 16 if it's all about Geist.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It sounds like something you should order off like a platter down at off of Main Street. Like, I'll take a Geist. That guy.
The Mizzou fans are not a fan of that guy, I guess.
No, I'm definitely not. Gee, many Christmas. But, hey, moving on. Let's see. We talked Goldie a little bit.
Forgot about high school basketball.
Well, let's talk to me a little bit about high school basketball. All
right, start off with the girls' side here at St. Charles West. Had a game against Ursuline on Tuesday, which Transitive Property would have said they would have won that game, but they lost.
Can you explain 35. That, what that means?
Nice.
Transitive Property. Like right now, coach so, is like, what does
Transitive
this mean?
Property.
Okay.
Team A beats Team B.
Okay.
Team B.
So St. Charles West beats Duchenne by 10.
Yep.
So and we then, got 10 points to deal with here.
Yeah. And then St. Charles High beats Duchenne by 5.
Okay.
So that means St. Charles West beats St. Charles High by 5.
Okay. So, okay. That wasn't too hard to figure out.
No. Yes. Right. So, Transitive Property was that Ursuline lost to Viz.
Okay.
And we beat Viz. So, okay. We should have destroyed Ursuline.
And that didn't happen?
Lost 41-35.
Ah.
And then.
Threw that equation right out
there. Yeah. And that was at Ursuline Tuesday. Then Thursday, I got to announce the game against Troy.
Yeah. You said Troy was you said the Troy girls team is just a good team.
They're just really good.
Yeah.
They have a couple good shooters and. Well, Troy won that game 57-42. They have a couple really good players. And, yeah, that was an interesting game to announce.
Well, give me, you know, and I know it's an interesting game to announce, but I know there was a lot of emotion that week, you know, with the JV game going on, the tournaments going on. Can you give me just like a quick one-minute recap of the JV basketball team boys?
Yeah.
I know you attended every game down there. How long of a ride was it?
Oh, I did not attend the Friday game. It was about an hour long on Monday. Got down there to Northwest. We played Eureka. 4:30 on the main floor, and we were up 17 at halftime against Eureka. Wondering what the heck's going on. First half court shot ends it. We make it like whoa, okay, and won that game over Eureka. They had one good player, and that was their varsity quarterback.
Yeah,
And then we played Howell North in their upper gym, which is above their main gym, so the name says.
I feel like there's some excuses going there. Was it slippery? Did they play with, like, an outdoor ball?
It probably was an outdoor ball.
Was it?
Yeah, and Howell North beat us. Yeah, that's...
Don't ever say that in that sentence again.
Yes.
Okay, move on.
And then they played Slew High on Friday.
Okay, that sounds better.
Yeah.
Did we lose to them, too?
Lost by two.
What happened in that game?
I wasn't there.
But you have to know. Someone
lots
told
of turnovers.
Him. Okay.
Well, I thought maybe he was saying he wasn't there. That's why they lost.
Yeah, I thought maybe.
Yes, that's what all the guys were saying.
Yeah, I mean, if you were there, kind of letting them know what's going on, keeping them up to beat, you know,
Wednesday,
to test.
Oh, they made me do the official book, so.
Oh, you were official guy?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Northwest
well,
Cedar Hill doesn't provide their own people to do the book, so.
Oh, well, I'm going to make a phone call. And then Friday, you kind of, you threw something on Friday, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, that was an incredibly frustrating game.
Yeah.
Luther North. And I won't go into detail because I still haven't done the stats yet.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for those to show up.
I'm waiting for the scorebook.
I had to pick him up off the floor because someone threw him against the bleachers.
I threw him against the floor.
Did you just go floor toss?
Yes, I bam. Just
double hand?
No, I just tossed it.
Double hand or single hand?
Double.
Yeah, I could tell.
That wasn't very smart because I was doing it in front of my grandparents.
Was it a wooden clipboard or plastic?
No, plastic. He didn't have enough.
I was
going to
say, for the wooden clipboard, that'd be pretty impressive.
Yeah. I thought maybe it was me.
No.
Yeah, you're too soft to go over the knee, aren't you?
I would probably cut myself.
Smart.
Yeah, but that was a really frustrating game. I was doing the stats, looking at it. Trent Champagne, 3 for 20 from two.
Yeah, he didn't. He missed some shots. And lose one that'll let you know about it. You know, yeah. He strikes a little short. I think his legs were a little loose. You know, they weren't underneath him a little bit.
I mean, the
did you let him know this already?
No.
Oh, you just,
I mean, I
just
told
throw it
all
right
I told him
there.
Was that shooter shoot.
Right.
So I mean, he's a shooter. So gotta let him shoot. He just wasn't making anything.
Yeah. The next day, if you shot 20 shots, how many do you make?
From two?
Yeah.
10.
Right. Have you let him know this yet?
No.
Okay.
Well, is that with the defense?
I don't have the guts to tell
defense
him.
Or no?
No defense. Or with defense?
I don't know. Just when we're saying defense, we're saying, like, was it good defense, obviously?
I'm just saying, like,
if you're guarded.
Like, if I'm guarding you and you get 20 shots, how many do you make?
You're probably blocking 10.
Ooh.
I'm making the other 10.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. So it's give what you can, or if not, you give up. I get it. So,
yeah.
Well, you know, Trent needs to, he probably needs to get out and get you know, work on his game a little bit.
We had the ACT Saturday, so.
Oh, he's probably worried about that. There we go. We can use that. He was worried about that.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. And then this week we got Winfield.
Going
up to Winfield Tuesday night. I'll be there from 3:30 till 10:30.
That's totally your call.
Yeah, well, I'm going to have to be.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday we go to the Lindenwood, play Eureka.
Right.
Eureka just won their tournament. They're playing, I want to say it was at Hillsboro.
Dandy.
And then got to go out back out on 70, going out to Warrington.
Oh, wow.
Friday.
Wow, we're just burning up 70, aren't we?
Yeah. We're burning up 70 and 79.
Well, maybe Friday night we'll just get done, take you right down to the Lake of the Ozarks. Maybe you, Faust, and I will just take the bus straight down to his place.
Yeah, exactly. St. Charles High this week.
What'd they do this week? I heard they were scoring machines over against Pattonville in the first quarter.
Yeah,
Seaford told me.
They played Pattonville, won 75-61, Pine Wiggs, 23 points and 20 rebounds. And then they played Parkway Central Friday, very good Parkway Central team. St. Charles High at 5-0 early, and Cameron Tison scores his 1,000th point. Parkway Central wins 51-38. Very good team. Got some good players. Got that big kid down low. Real skinny.
Oh, yeah. He's got the goggles.
Yeah.
Remember you walked in the gym a couple summers ago, and you're like, who's that kid? I'm like, just wait.
Yeah.
He's a springy. Springy.
Yeah,
I call him a springy guy, Coach. We can't guard the springy guys.
Yeah.
No, you walk into St. Charles West with a 6'4 to 6'6 springy guy, and we're screwed. We are screwed. I tell you what.
If we had a springy guy, we'd be good.
Well, we haven't had springy guys ever.
Yeah.
Can you name one springy guy?
No.
Nobody's
springy.
No.
That was, like, solid.
We had one springy guy for, like, 4 months, and that was
true.
Christian Kirk.
I forgot about that.
Bam, gone.
Right.
Yeah. He kind of cruised by for a visit. Kind of hung out for a minute.
And then other talk, Coach Bazalog, Duchenne, had 3 games this week. Played Sullivan earlier in the week, lost to them. But Sullivan... It's actually a pretty good team. I think
Can you tell me a little bit about Sullivan? We play them later in the year.
The the coach's son is one of the McKinney. Is it? Okay. It's Cody. He's one of the best shooters I've seen.
Really?
Yeah. Now, I thought we did a really good job on him. He's only at 13, but in the games I saw, the three or four games we saw him play, he shot it as well as about anybody I've seen shoot the ball on a high school level.
What do they do defensively?
They play man to man. Okay. They're tough and physical. Yeah. They got a bunch of seniors and they're well coached and disciplined.
Did you play them there?
We played at our place.
Have you ever played them there?
No.
No. We go down there on a Friday. First. Friday night. I think it's gonna be pretty cool.
No, it's a neat the gym looks like it's pretty neat and we'll go there next year.
I think it's one of those games your kids look at and they're like, right. You know, and I'm like, we're gonna go down there and I'm glad the fact that Coach has a son on the team because usually
it'll be a good crowd. It's one of those.
I hope they're kind of yelling at us,
it'll be a good atmosphere.
Hopefully,
sure.
Mr. Anderson can keep himself under control. You know, get that in kind of those neck of the woods. You know, he needs to make sure he's making good decisions, but it'll probably light a fire under his butt like over 50.
50.
Or hopefully he plays. So, other than that, what else we got, Lou? We got anything else?
Duchenne played Trinity on Friday.
Yeah, you know, and Coach, you know, we had some text messages back and forth, and it's one of those games where you're like, you see everybody talking about him and the athleticism, but you guys did a great job, like you said, only down four at half, and, you know, like you mentioned earlier in the show, just a great thing for your kids, and they bounced back on Saturday against Freeburg, correct?
Correct.
And played well, and guy had 26 rebounds.
That's unofficial, but we knew he had it around 20 or so. So he cleans them up.
Yeah, it's always nice to have a guy that cleans them up. You know, that's what we're looking for with our four guy. And we, you know what, you know, talk about Austin Stepp, his performance the other night.
Yeah, he had which game
on Friday when Friday with North we started him, and he probably had what
eight rebounds,
and you know he kind of did his role though. You know, we're kind of looking at a guy in that four spot, and he's a transfer from Herculaneum who's kind of like rolled in here. And
I remember Coach seeing him, and then you call the Herculaneum coach, and you say, "Oh, he can dunk."
Yep,
that's about it. And he's been a little bit better than that.
Yeah, you know, you hear a coach tell you, he's athletic. You know, you immediately start to think, well, that means he can't walk and chew gum. He can just dunk it, you know. So he's done some really good things for us. He's a good kid, and we're looking forward to moving on with him. So anything else we got? Lou, what did we miss on in-season talk?
Nothing.
In this next?
Well.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Never mind. We're good.
Are you sure?
We talked about Blackwell.
No, we didn't.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about that. Elijah Blackwell.
You got 1 minute.
Eighth best player in the country, signed to Mizzou for girls basketball, no longer at Whitfield.
And just, bam, done.
And don't know where she's going
to
go.
So this kind of sounds to me, we got 40 seconds left. This sounds to me like something has happened with her at Whitfield, whether she did something inappropriately or did something correctly. It just sounds really fishy to me. I got 30 seconds left. I'm just hoping that, you know, whatever happened is not going to influence her, you know, outcome at Missouri. You know, this doesn't just happen to where someone just says, I'm done here, I'm leaving. I think everyone involved.
Especially your senior year.
Well, if you read the article, you know, everyone's doing their part. Everyone's trying to, you know, do the best for the young lady. But at the same time, we're as coaches, we're not going to sit here and not think that obviously something had to have happened, good or bad or indifferent. And we just hope that whatever happens, she can finish out her, you know, her high school career, whatever she does. But that's a huge blow to that coach over there and to that program. You know, and it's, I can't imagine putting myself in that situation. We got 5 seconds left, but you know, he actually in the article did a great job of being the right, you would say,
saying the right things,
and we're all only kind of guessing here, but it's a shame for him because I'm sure he put a lot of hard work into making that young lady the player that she was.
Correct.
You know. It's that time of the show, Lou, where we get to sit down and spend about 15 or 25 minutes with Coach. And, you know, why we do this is because it's a St. Charles West thing, but we are insane. And at the same time, you know, it's St. Charles sports. And I think in the last, you know, in my mind, since, you know, the early 2000s and on, you know, as a coach and as a player, we've kind of watched someone at Duchenne High School, you know, and Coach Wade here that's made an impact on a bunch of kids. You know, as I live in this subdivision and I walk and I drive in here, I sometimes think to myself, if I had the guys that he's impacted in this subdivision on my teams or on the teams that I coached when I was at the lower levels, we could have been really scary. And obviously, you know, through our conversation, we're going to kind of find out, you know, why did those kids come play for coach. And he did a great job. You know, me being a St. Cletus kid and a St. Charles West kid, you kind of see, like I said, I drive through the subdivisions and see all these people, the Briscoes, the Moores, and you did a great job doing what, you, what you've done here. And can you tell me, what year did you start at Duchesne?
03, 04, I believe, was my first year.
And let's talk about, I guess, real quick right off the bat, let's talk about some of those. Like, right when you took the job, basketball in St. Charles was what?
It was really good, yeah.
And how did you approach that at Duchesne as far as what was your goal? And I guess, you know, when everyone starts, what was your long-term plan at Duchesne when you saw how sports were in St. Charles? And why did you take the job, I guess is what I should say.
Well, the big thing with Duchesne when I came in and looked at it, because I interviewed several or a few other places and was actually offered a couple other jobs. My big thing with Duchesne was soccer at the time at Duchesne, boys soccer was really good. Mm-hmm. The football team was really good. So it's like they have athletes, you know, and so it's like, why can't basketball's had some success, but why can't it consistently be good?
Right.
And so my thought process was we have athletes and you have, you know, I think we had this, you could tell the support of the community.
Right.
So if you have those two things going for you, I don't see any reason why basketball can't be just as good as those other sports that,
right.
that are good with boys.
So it's kind of like a coach in any, you know, or if you're getting a job anywhere, you see the success in the finance department or the pharmaceutical department. You know, why can't I do this?
Right.
You know, and it was a great year to also kind of join St., you know, I guess you would say St. Charles basketball. But who was the one or two players that really kind of took you in the direction where you've been and then that followed the Briscoes and Moores? But I'm assuming Mr. Plockmeyer had something
to do
with that.
Well, Zach was a big part of it. You know, I got really, really – I always tell people I got really fortunate when I came in because at the time, Zach was going to be a freshman. You know, and they told me in the job interview that we got a freshman coming in. It's going to be really good.
Right.
Like, okay, whatever. You know, you just don't know. And then we had a really good group of sophomores as well. So that first year, we had some seniors that were pretty good and they – that first year was kind of a filling out process. We played Zach a lot. We played some of those sophomores a lot. And we
and had who were some of the sophomores at that time?
Matt Pullman, Joe Gennenbacher, Mike Latta, Matt Austin, you know, and then...
and those were athletes.
Yeah.
Kids that played
other sports,
like you said.
Yeah. They were really good athletes. And the big thing with that group was they were competitors.
Right.
And so
don't you think that's because they played other sports?
It helps them.
Yeah.
I mean, you could tell, you know, they just like to win.
Right.
And they were really successful in football. And so... You know, I got in, and having Zach helped a lot because he kind of gave us – at that time, there were a lot of really good players in St. Charles, and he gave us one of those guys
right
off the bat. And so, you know, I kind of always tell everybody I got fortunate because we struggled a little bit my first year. Part of that, I think, was me just learning how to coach high school basketball because I coached junior college for 7 years.
And that had to be just an unright – different. I mean,
it was completely different, especially coming from junior college to, you know, a private Catholic school.
Okay, so when you're in junior college, like – for 7 years, you said.
Right.
When you start a season, what is your focus? Is your focus to get the kids to the next level or to win?
It's kind of doing both because I feel like if you can get the kids to the next level and win, then that's going to get you more kids because you can sell those kids getting to the next level. You know, and
so
it's that fight to do that.
So you went from sending kids to the next level and kind of who I got on a yearly basis, here's how we're going to play, to settling into a high school job. What was the difference there?
I think just trying to find a system that fits the kids and where you're at. You know, it was really hard. Obviously, I'm a motion guy. We ran some forms of motion in junior college. It was really hard to run good motion in junior college just because I had kids for 1 or 2 years max.
And you'll be the first one to say that because of the kids that you had at Duchesne that were predominantly sophomore to senior players or freshman to senior players that the motion offense picks up. And I'm just going to stop you right there. If I were to walk into your practice – And I've talked to you about this many times before.
Right.
I'm a set guy.
Right.
And I want to be a motion guy. And how do I get there? And if I walked into your practice, what does it look like?
I mean, we're really big on just I'm a kind of a what's the word? Simplicity and execution guy.
Right.
So we're gonna do. We've got kind of a core set of things with our motion and with our man-to-man half-court defense that we're gonna do. We try to be fundamentally sound. So we're gonna do some stuff early. As far as working on some footwork and those sorts of things. But we spend a lot of time on teaching reading screens, using screens.
How do you do that? Do you go 2-on-2, 3-on-3, and build up?
It's a build up. We start just walking through it. You kind of go 1-on-0 or, you know, 2-on-0. And then we do a lot of what we call two-ball down-screen shooting or flare-screen shooting where both the cutter and the second cutter get shots just to keep them interested. I know we always joke with like last year's team, most of those kids were four-year varsity guys, and they probably did that 10,000 times.
Right.
And we'll start off, and sometimes we do it, you know, like with this year's group, with the young group, we even set the basketball in the slot and have them just read the screen and not even worry about the basketball.
Right.
So we'll start that way, and then we build it up and just slowly work on the different types of screens and how to read them and how to use them.
And I think that's one thing that I don't do a good job of. I always start the year off with a lot of, like, we ran our motion stuff the first 12 practices, the first 15 minutes was our motion movement, you know, mm-hmm. and then you get so riled up into your scouting reports. And then next thing you know, I always say I'm going to do this 10 minutes or 15 minutes a day. And that's something I need to get better on. But I was also brought up as a set coach to get the ball to your best players. But at the same time, I understand that can create some boredom with other players, you know, and I think with your style, I think every player knows that they are going to have the ability to make a difference.
Right. I think it, especially early, I'll be honest, early, we kind of ran the mover blocker stuff, uh-huh. The Dick Bennett, I guess it's Tony Bennett now, the Virginia stuff, just because I had a lot of football kids.
Right.
And you got a big, strong football kid, and he could be a screener and block and move and do some of that, and it gets them involved. They get to handle the ball. They get to be a part of it.
Right.
They're not just standing in the corner or whatever. And I think that's big to get buy-in. Because all the kids are moving.
Right.
And I think that helps. The other thing I really like about motion is I think it gets better.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's hard to scout and hard to play against.
I can tell you right now, it is hard to scout. You know, because we always tell our guys, I mean, literally, when we watch film at Duchenne, it's, this is how we kind of want you to move. And then at the same time, my kids are like, well, I guarantee that on their end, they'd love to run the sets that we run.
I think it's
one of those battles of control, not control. And seeing with the motion offense, you see that, you know, progress over the year. And with me, it's, you get busy and it's just easier to do what you've always done. And that's something that I think, you know, it's kind of your choice and what you want to do.
Right.
But I think also at the same time, you went through a good phase there where you had four or five kids who can play.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier to teach motion offense when all of a sudden you look out there and you got, you know, two or three kids that are role kids. It's kind of based on your team, and you've been fortunate enough with that. And, I'm jealous. That's what I'm saying is I always want to kind of come and see how that you know, comes to fruition. But Lou's got some questions for you, you know, that he's going to ask for you now that we actually asked some of your alumni for, and we're not going to sit here and we came up with all these.
Yeah,
but,
I noticed that.
This is a St. Charles thing, and we're not going to sit here and be selfish and think that we can actually come up with questions that will entertain our audience. But go ahead, Lou.
So there's a legend out there. You missed a game versus Trinity because you were too sick.
Yeah, last year I missed the Trinity game. It's the first game I've ever missed in 23 years of coaching. I had the flu. Uh-huh. I was feeling horrible, and I went to the urgent care and got the flu test or whatever, and they said, you have the flu, and the nurse was adamant that I shouldn't go because it's super contagious.
Right.
So, I spent that evening. I actually turned off my Twitter notifications and everything because I just didn't, it was going to eat me up to just follow it.
Well,
so
the interesting, I've missed one game in my career because I got the double tech
at
St. Charles High in the district. So to open up the season, I actually was kind of thinking, oh, you know what? What can I do here to watch this game? And of course, it was the night that they're dedicating the court to my home.
Right.
So I'm there. And then immediately, I thought it was kind of funny. Like the police are like, like I wasn't gonna leave,
right?
You know. So next thing you know, where am I watching the game due to Warrior Vision? I'm at Tubby's Pub and Grill, my home bar. You know, sitting there watching it live stream, watching St. Charles High play St. Charles West, and I'm thinking to myself, what a way to go here,
right.
You know. And I've had two texts in my life, and those are the only two I've ever gotten. And,
no, I didn't know that.
And when I get close to maybe getting one, I always think to myself, what an idiot you looked like. You know, not being able
that's
to coach
what
that game.
That's you were thinking probably last Tuesday.
Well, last Tuesday, if anyone's at the game against Howell North, I had told our administrator who was on the game, I said, are you here to, she said, yeah, until Terry gets back. And I said, well, I'm going to have something for this ref. I said, and I don't normally do this, but the cop was there. I just wanted to let him know what my feelings were. And I tapped him on the shoulder and I said, sir, I said, mechanically, you're really good. I said, but I've watched you do a lot of games. And I said, tonight, I think what you did was unfair to one of my kids. And I could feel like the assistant principal is probably like, what is this coach going to do? You know, I told her it would be fine. And I just wanted to let him know that if you're going to give someone two techs in a game, the second one better be.
Right.
Because that just changes game plans and the kid and it's a senior. And it gets messy. So, but he's a really, don't get me wrong, really good ref mechanically. And it was my 100th win. And my kids were like, yay. And I'm like, no, I got to talk to somebody real quick. I had a little bit of a red ass is what they would say.
Oh, yeah. You weren't, let's say you weren't ready to go to war, but you were not afraid of anything.
And we won the game, you know, and I was just kind of upset because I knew my next 2 days were going to be awful. Right. Trying to game plan against a team that pressures you a little bit with a guy that you're missing that handles the ball. And
yep.
Coach knows it's a nightmare when you have to try to change things up. You got any more for me? I know you got a couple more.
What made St. Chuck basketball so special in the years 2005 to 2007?
Well, I think it was a combination of great players and great coaching.
Absolutely.
You had Gary Wacker at St. Charles was really, really good. And then obviously Coach Hollander. And Coach Hollander was big for me as a young coach coming into high school because I had to learn how to game plan against a guy that ran a ton of sets and did a ton of stuff. And like, I just know my first couple of years coming in as like a 30-year-old as a head coach, especially coming from junior college where it's maybe a little bit more free flowing. I had to prepare because you were afraid you were just going to get embarrassed.
Well, and kind of, you know, talking about how the basketball is so good and it's so close and you got to play them, you got to prepare.
Right.
Coach Hollander will be the first one to tell you, and I don't know if you know this, but there were plenty of jobs, college, high school jobs around the area where he would get phone calls for who they thought, you know, hey, we respect you.
Right.
You know, who do you think that would be somebody who could take this job? And your name was brought up every time.
Oh,
you know, and I don't know if I've ever shared that with you.
No, but, I did not know that.
We've sat down before, and there was a good 5 to 6 year window where your name was brought up in about everything. Because he was at Lindenwood, but he was still a high school guy, and he knew a lot. And every single time, your name was the first one he brought up. So I want you to know that
means a lot.
That was a huge deal because I'm sitting there, you know, thinking obviously, you know, and you do a great job. But for him to he knew, you know, I know the Lafayette jobs and some other jobs that came open and even college jobs, like I said, and you do a fantastic job because you're so prepared. And I think it's something that I'm sure you've had plenty of opportunities to move away from Duchenne, but at the same time you've had so many good teams and so many good people. Will you ever, you know, have you ever kind of got to a point where you thought, you know, I've been here for a while. Can I expand my horizons back into the college game? Or have you
ever thought about that? Thought about it, and there's been some other jobs that have come up, but it's just really hard to leave. I always tell everybody the thing about Duchenne is just the community,
right?
And we've had good kids, so that helps a lot, you know. And it like would have been hard to leave that last group of kids that just came through because you've known them since they were little.
And really, you had that group previous that, just their younger brother, you know.
Yeah, we've had, you know.
It's a 10-year window.
You just develop relationships. Yeah. I really like the people I work with, and Debbie Turner is just a phenomenal lady.
She's great.
So it's just
in my carpool growing up.
Right. And I think the other thing that I always tell everybody is the parents at Duchenne are phenomenal. Like, I don't deal with problems.
And I think that's a St. Charles thing.
Right.
You know, we all, you know, I teach at Orchard Farm, and I coach basketball at St. Charles West, and they ask, you know, of course, many questions about my end, you know, would you move on? And it's just, it's hard to move on when you don't have the stress of the issues that other coaches talk to you about. You know, our stress is watching film and seeing if our guys are going to be playing well the next night.
That's about it.
A lot of other coaches, their stress is elsewhere, whether it's the parents or the kids or the grades. So we live in a special place.
It's hard to walk away from that, not knowing what you're going to get at other places.
I think that's the same boat I would be in. You know, if someone said you want to do this or that, you know, let's face it, you know, Howell North job comes open tomorrow. I mean, that's a kind of a place where success has been limited, but such good kids. And you kind of look at that. But for me, it's like, I'm good where I'm at because of the people, and I think the relationship factor is what you're talking about. Lou, you got any more?
Yes. What was the transition like from the GAC to the AAA?
AAA? Initially, that was done for football. I was not really excited about it because
I can understand.
I liked the rivalries we had with St. Charles. You know, St. Charles and St. Charles West, and we still play, but I think it kind of hurt it a little bit because it wasn't a conference game and that sort of thing. So initially, I wasn't really excited about it. I think since they've gone to the three divisions, it kind of changes my
perspective. So who's in your division?
Or, I mean, the GAC's gone to three. I think it changed
a little bit. Okay, so you kind of – and I agree because here I am, you know, I'm a GAC guy, but I play the same GAC schools every year.
Right.
You know, we played House Central in tournament. That was awesome.
Right.
You know, and I wish there was some more, I guess you would say, uniqueness to it to where you could possibly play different teams.
Yeah.
And I understand what you're saying there with – it kind of brought it back down to earth a little bit. But what about the travel and just your parents and school?
Yeah, I mean, and that was the other thing is it just the GAC was at the time when we left was still kind of in this area. So you had some natural, like we kind of developed a rivalry with Zumwalt South at the time. And you know, so the travel was a lot closer and better. And the kids kind of all grew up together.
Absolutely.
And I don't think you have that quite as much in the AAA. And that was the other concern, I think, was just the crowds on the road. You know, your kids were going to go watch a game at West or High or, you know, Hal North. Or right. I mean, most of our kids grow up in those school districts and drive into, you know, St. Mary's or Borgia. Or,
right.
It's going to hurt your road crowd was a big concern.
Right.
So it's turned out well. I mean, obviously, we've been really pretty good for the last several years. So, you know, being able to play the Borgias.
Right.
St. Mary's has been good for us playing them.
You guys beat St. Mary's last year.
We did.
That
so,
was a really good team.
So, it's really, you know, we've kind of developed some new rivalries. It's been good. I mean, right. It's kind of, I think, helped heighten the rivalry with St. Dominic a little bit because we'd played them twice a year.
So, you would have to say that that's your rival. I mean,
I would think it's kind of shifted a little bit more to Dominic now than it used to be. I mean, when I first got to Duchesne, it would definitely have been West.
Right.
Obviously with some High mixed in, but I think Dominic's probably a little bit more of a rivalry now than
and the crowd show it.
Yeah, it's usually as packed. It's not like it was, and that's the other thing about like 2005 to 2007 when you'd play a West or a High, it was ridiculous how packed it'd be, and
right
because people would come in from out of the area, you know, even out of the St. Charles area to watch those games to see Soderberg or Plackmeyer or Harrelson.
I mean, you could come in and watch, you know, on some nights you could watch two or three D1 kids,
right?
You know, that doesn't, I mean, no. What game could you go to around town now where you're like, I'm gonna go watch West and Duchesne play and watch two or three D1 kids? It's not gonna happen.
No, not
you know, and we were blessed during that time. And I was blessed. I was 22, 23 years old, hanging out on Main Street, you know, just sitting on the bench and acting like I had anything to do with it. So, Lou, you got any more for me?
Yes. There's a story out there that you told your players you were so locked in a tornado could take out the other in the gym and you wouldn't even know.
I do not remember saying that. I probably did. I don't remember it.
When do you think you said it? In practice or like taking the floor?
Because
you never
probably
take the floor at the right time. You always wait till like, what do you do?
What are you talking about?
You take the floor at your games like 7 minutes to go.
Yeah.
Are you just still prepping?
I'm just back there trying not to.
Are you still trying to find mismatches?
No, I'm not.
Because I'm out there always trying to like talk to you and you're like,
oh. No, that's just a nerves thing. Like I'm just trying to stay back there as long as I can so I can.
Meanwhile, I'm out there like, where's Wade? I want to talk about going to get dinner or something.
No, yeah. So I am a train wreck on game days. So
are you?
Yeah.
Are you like a starting pitcher in the MLB?
I don't know what that means. I mean, I know what a starting pitcher in the MLB is, but I don't.
Do you like no one talk to me? Like, are you like different in class that day?
I probably am. I've had the kids tell me that I'm a little. They just know I'm a little bit on edge. Right. I try not to do it. And I've gotten better than I did as like a 30-year-old. But
right.
Sometimes the kids will be like, "It's game day. You might want to just sit
off
in your seat.
Just do what he says."
Yeah. I'm usually just in there, you know, I'll say a prayer or something and be ready to go. But
you ever say like multiple prayers when you play us? Make me feel better?
No, I actually just spend all day in prayer. That's it.
Thank you. Makes me feel great.
Next question. Who are the best players you've coached against?
Oh, you guys sent me that I feel like I'm going to leave somebody out. I tried to go through a lot of them. I noticed are from back in that 05 to 07
era.
Well,
why wouldn't they be?
Kramer Soderberg was up there. I mean, he was a phenomenal high school player.
How was he hard to go? Like, did you, when you game planned against St. Charles West, when he was around, there were so many good players on his team as well.
Right.
Did you try to
That made it hard. And then, you know, he and Coach Hollander got every call.
Right. I agree. Every push off.
Yeah. So.
Or he'd go on that cradle move.
Yeah. So you couldn't touch him into the foul. So you couldn't get into him. And then he did it. He did so many things well. And he was just so sound. Like he was one of the most sound kids we played.
He was.
So it's just really hard. And then having the other kids around him. So it's not, you know, a lot of times nowadays you get a really good player and you can play off guys and whatever.
Oh,
and
really? Not like I'm going through that right now.
You know, yeah.
Box
so,
one!
Right.
Every
so
time
you,
I show
you just
up.
Couldn't do that with that team, those teams.
Right.
You know, because the other guy I wrote down was Alex Bazell.
Yeah.
I mean, he absolutely, like my worst loss point-wise was in the district finals.
And he let you have it.
He absolutely went bonkers.
Yes.
Like, I thought we guarded him pretty well, and he's pulling up from the volleyball line with Mike Hollander hanging all over him and just hitting threes. And it was just that I was like, holy smokes, you know. So,
it's one of those teams you played against that just had all the guards, and you couldn't, you know, you tried to take a guy away, another guy was there, and then there was yet, you know, Brian Maurer. And you couldn't do anything.
Well, and then if you were down
it's over.
5 minutes in the fourth quarter, you're done. You just, you got to just sit there and as they just slowly cut you to death. And
it's funny because I always talk about that, you know, with teams that I've had, and you try to do that.
Right.
And really, you're just doing yourself a disservice.
Right.
Because you're like, we used to do this all. No, you didn't. You know, you had three of the best guards in the area, and you were able to do what you can do.
Because they all shot 98% from the free throw line. So
we have some breaking news.
Oh, what do we got?
Uh-oh.
Lee Smith has been elected to the Hall of Fame.
Big Lee?
Yes.
Like Cardinals Big Lee?
Yes.
You know, true story, coming totally off the bonkers here. So my dad, we would have, back in the day, you'd have to take stuff over to the airport to give it shipped off from the UPS and FedEx, and he did t-shirts. So we'd work till about 9:45 behind Tubby's. He had a shop there, and we would do the t-shirts, and then we would drive them over to FedEx. And every once in a while, if the Cardinal game was close in the seventh inning, we'd drop him off at FedEx, and we'd go right down 70, and we'd walk in and watch Big Lee close games. You know, breaking news, but what a great story that reminds me of. We'd walk in, and we could, you know, at that time, you sat wherever you wanted. And my dad would say, hey, let's watch Big Lee, you know, close him down. I thought this was normal, you know, but it wasn't. So what an experience, and congratulations to Big Lee. He was a scary young man, you know, back in those days.
One last question for Coach Bowslog. Duchenne being a football school versus a basketball school, how'd that culture change?
And was this like, was this around the Kevin Ossadnik era?
I'm trying to remember. I know the name Kevin. No, I think Kevin was there right before I got there.
I think late 90s.
Yeah. So I know that they had a phenomenal team back in the late 90s. They played in like a Maryville at Duchenne. They said people were sitting on the roof.
Yes. That was the Ossadnik days, the Glozier days.
Well, yeah, Tony Glozier was a senior, I think, my first year there. That football team when I got there was really, really good. And I grew up in when I moved to Nashville, Gallatin actually won a state title in Tennessee, so it was a big football school. But the Duchenne was – the football team was really phenomenal.
And we kind of talked about how just getting those kids back into – playing basketball as well. And
right.
If we can do the football thing and do the soccer thing, why can't we do the basketball thing?
Yeah, and that was the goal. It just slowly flipped. We started to kind of get more basketball kids that played football or basketball kids only, and that flipped. And I think having success helped us. You know, I'm talking about being lucky. I mean, they hadn't won a district in 30 years till that when we won my third year. And I think that really helped kind of flip things as far as the fandom, the community, and that sort of thing. Because
I'm not going to lie to you, being a St. Charles West kid, whenever Duchenne was brought up, that's what they went to.
Right.
You know, they haven't won a district in 24 years, 25 years. And when they did, it was almost like they had won 20 in a row.
No, it seemed that way. It really did, though.
As a kid growing up, it was like they did it. And then you guys hung on to that. And that was...
No, it was big. That was important. And, you know, because it could be a flash in the pan. And just being able to sustain that, I think, has been huge. You know, talk about being an Illinois fan. I mean, I grew up in the late 80s.
Right.
90s, early 2000s when they were phenomenal. Now, you know, everybody thinks they're terrible because it's been, you know, what, 15 years since they went to the national championship game and that sort of thing. And it's really been hard for them to change that culture.
Right. Well, it's hard to change a culture when you've gotten to the top.
Right.
You know, and they got to the top, Illinois did, pretty quickly.
Yes.
You know, and that's kind of, you know, and we've seen, you have and I have, you know, you're seeing that this year. You're kind of, it's that wave of you get what you get.
Yeah, you know, and I just haven't had to. I haven't had to do a rebuild in a long time,
right?
And so, in some ways, it's kind of fun because you got to go back and I've had to go back and really reteach stuff and figure some of that stuff out. Because last year was a maintenance year of trying to keep them interested.
Right.
Let's throw a bunch of different wrinkles at them and have some fun
just to
that
keep
way.
Because
we can do it. Because they know. I mean, case in point, the Trinity game. I mean, it wasn't even there, and they end up winning that game. So that. It kind of humbles you in some ways, but it's also kind of it shows that you've prepared them well and that sort of thing. Not to, you know, the kids figured it out.
Right.
That's
kind of like something like this year. Like I know I got some good seniors and we're going to be okay, but I know the next year or two for me are going to be transition years.
Right.
And I almost, like you said, like I almost kind of in the back of my mind, you know, you're always thinking about the next years that are coming. And I think to myself, this can be fun. You know, because if you can have some success and then have a little success and then realize it's a deal you got to do every single day, like the maintenance thing this year. This year is a maintenance year for us. I mean, let's face it, we've played a lot of games early. We're going to practice. Everybody kind of knows what's going on. We know our game plan. We know what we're going to do. But man, these next 2 years, I know, and I think that's going to re-energize me a little bit.
No, it does make you because you. You obviously want to be loaded every year. It makes it easier. But yeah, and you know, we're going to be really, really young next year.
Right.
But I like our freshman class. I think they're going to be pretty solid. And it's going to be fun to kind of. It's been fun this year having them at practice. I've been on them a little bit, but just just seeing the little progress you see here and there of figuring things out and getting
that's,
better.
I think that's why we do high school sport. You know, I mean, that's kind of the whole thing is right. to see the kid from the freshman to the senior year because, like I said, you know, we have some kids playing for us now that I never thought would have ever.
No, that's the best. That's the best part about it. And that's we got a couple seniors that have kind of gone through that because they sat behind a good group and now they're getting to kind of shine.
So let's go ahead and Lou, I'm assuming you got your hand on your hip over there on your. What are you thinking about right now?
Nothing.
What's school like tomorrow?
I have Coach Jackson first block tomorrow.
What are you gonna do there?
Work on our intro videos.
Are you guys gonna ever get those done, or are we just gonna continue watching? Like old Nick Bazell videos.
We'll get those done.
Okay.
I mean, we don't play.
I mean, we only have so many home games left here. I thought maybe we could maybe spice that up a little bit.
Yeah, we don't play at West for another month.
Well, so. You got a month to get that done.
Yep.
You understand?
Yep. So well, we got 2 weeks of winter break, so.
I can't wait. So let's talk about a little bit just about the 04 game with this clipboard deal.
Gosh.
You know, I these questions that you're hearing are from your alumni. You know,
was this Zach?
I think it was Zach, but I think it was in 04. Is that correct?
It was my second year.
Was it at Bowling Green?
It was at we played in the Montgomery County tournament my first 2 years.
And I think you ended up losing the game for the squad doing something. Or
I don't know if I lost the game for the squad on this.
Well, tell me the story.
No, so I'm trying to remember because that's a long time ago. But we were playing Bowling Green, who they were solid at the time, and we were struggling a little bit. I think we could not score. It's a little frustrating
game.
How did
you not score with Zach?
Yeah, well, maybe that's coaching, but so it's a tight game. I think it's tied with like under 30 seconds to go, and a ball goes out of bounds at the far end of the court. And I want to say that we called a timeout to set up like an inbounds play, and we come out of the timeout, and they tell us that they changed the call.
Isn't that the worst?
Other team's ball,
or if they changed the location of where the ball is. Oh my god!
So you know, I'm arguing with the refs or whatever, and I have my clipboard in my hand, and I nobody believes me on this, but I turned around and just dropped the clipboard. I was dropping it in disgust.
You're going to tell me that you gave a one hand drop?
It was not a throw. It was not a throw, and it broke. Well, the ref that's right there, he turns around and he tees me up in a tie game with like, I don't know, it might have even been less than 30 seconds. So they obviously hit free throws. I think we lose by two. And so that was a humbling experience. The funny thing about that I was telling you about it before is I'd actually driven out to the game by myself because I was scouting.
Right.
So I was driving back and the kids are on the bus. And at that time, the kids could, you know, text you or whatever.
Right.
I don't even know if we had texting back then, but I think I got a phone call from, I want to say it was Matt Pullman just called and said, Coach, the guys just wanted to call and just make sure you were still on the road and hadn't driven off the road or driven off a bridge or something.
But, you know, that is the work. I've done the whole, at times, the drive by yourself. Because sometimes, you know, work gets in the way or you got to do a duty somewhere. And the worst part is driving home from a game when your team's on the bus and you've lost.
No, it's
not. I don't care if you've lost the game yourself or anything because you're thinking, I can't hear what the kids are saying. They're probably bad-mouthing me.
Right.
I probably had something to do with it. But at the same time, you kind of miss that connection with the boys as far as getting over it.
Just feel like you let the kids down,
So what is your, you know, do you have one or two favorite memories since you've been at Duchesne High School? Where it kind of just stands out to where, you know, this is something you're never going to forget.
Well, I mean, I think that's another one. I mean, there's so many good memories because you have all the little memories from here and there of with the kids and whatever. I obviously winning that first district, I think, was just humongous just because of the atmosphere of that game. Uh-huh. Like, I've never been a part of any atmosphere like that probably since, you know, they were lined up at 4 o'clock to get into that game against St. Charles. The kids were. They stopped letting people
in. And where was the game
at
that year?
It was at Duchesne.
At Duchesne, right.
So, you know, hadn't won a district in 30 years. They were hanging off the rafters. You know, had Josh Harrelson, who ended up playing in the NBA. We had Zach. And, you know, to win that game was just – it was a really, really great experience, especially as a young coach. I think going to the state quarterfinals in 2012 was pretty awesome, too.
And let's talk just a little bit about – I think I'd be remiss to not ask you. You had two, in my opinion, and I could be totally wrong, 2-4 teams that, and you got a situation where your district play or your sectional game, I mean, your road to the Final Four was extremely difficult.
Mm-hmm.
How did that take an impact on you and your program when you look at other programs getting there with a little less? I mean, I know this is a heartfelt question, but I've sat in your footsteps before, like where I've thought about, like, I mean, you had 4-5 teams there, in my opinion, that at times you guys got caught up in the hand you got dealt.
Right. With our district or
and I
with
guess,
our sectional.
I guess your district or your sectional. And then how did you feel? I mean, did you not see other teams kind of ride the gauntlet of the easy train? And did it make you mad? Or how does
it kind of I'd be lying if I didn't say you kind of look at that and kind of get a little bit, frustrated or whatever. But you try to, and I'm not good at it sometimes, but you try to control what you can control. I mean, I felt like last year we had a potential Final Four team, but then in our district you've got Trinity and Northwest Academy. And, our kids, we gave Northwest everything they could have, and they went to the Final Four. Right. And there were other teams, you look at their district, and they're beating everybody by 30.
Right.
Or you see teams that you've beaten by double digits that make the quarterfinals or whatever, right. And it's frustrating. But you got to control what you can control. And you just got to kind of be proud of what your teams have accomplished.
And how did your teams respond to those moments? I mean, you had to have several conversations where your year ended, where you had kids sitting in front of you that knew that other kids are getting the opportunity that they darn, in my mind, should have had.
I think it depends. Like last year, I think they accepted it because I think they felt like they left it on the floor. I don't say they accepted. They were obviously very upset because that group had grown up together. But I think once they got out of it and saw, they realized, we kind of left it out on the floor. We've had some other teams that I know it still bothers them.
Mm-hmm.
The Sam Briscoe's crew, we should have made a little bit more of a run. But,
I remember losing to you guys, and I was a young coach, and I remember Sam walking by and me saying, go do this for St. John's.
Right, I remember you saying something like that to me as well.
Yeah, I did, because I was thinking this team has it.
Right.
And you guys ran into some buzzsaws along the way, but, and I guess as a coach, when you say that kind of stuff, it's not just BS, it's you're prepared as can be, and I thought that was it. And I remember sitting at home feeling like there's going to be a day in my career where we have a lot more years, and I'm younger than you are, but I feel like I'm going to have that. And I wonder through that stage of how the heck would I have dealt with that, And kudos to you and your players who did a great job with that because they were darn good.
No, it's tough, but
was at the district. It was one of those years when you lost to Borgia.
Yeah, so the year we won the first district, we lost to Borgia, who ended up winning the state title. They just kind of buzzsawed through.
Wasn't it a game where you were up? Or?
Yeah, well, actually, we played them at their place earlier in the year and were winning by two.
Uh-huh.
They were at the free throw line with a 1-1, missed the front end of the 1-1, and Paul Eckerly?
Yes.
Mike Lotta, who's our 6'5 jumping jack, fouled out, so we had to put in like a 6'2 kid.
Right.
Well, Eckerly goes up, tips it back out to Alex Moosman, and Moosman hits a three to beat us on a free throw miss. So we lost to him there, so we really felt like we had a chance. It was a tight game with them in the sectionals. I mean, they ended up winning by like 12, but it was a 4 or 5 point game late, and we had to foul or whatever.
Right.
So we were right there, and we felt like obviously if you get past that, you probably have a good chance to go to Final Four.
And then let's talk a little bit about, Sam Briscoe and his walking boot. Wasn't there a story about how he tried to pull a fast one on you?
Yeah, so I think it was his freshman year. He was playing soccer, so he decided he's going to play soccer. So I have him in. I had him in my he was coming in that day. We have a rotating schedule, so he was first class, like a beginning team sports class or something. So he comes walking around the corner into class. I'm in the office, and I don't know if he knocked on the door. If I saw him, he's in a walking boot, and he's like, "Coach, I broke my foot or hurt my ankle. I'm out like 6 weeks, and there was only like I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 weeks left in the soccer season or whatever." And I'm like, oh, gosh.
Who did he borrow the boot from?
I don't remember. I just know he did that. So he goes in the locker room to get dressed, and then finally they come out and tell me he was just kidding. So
I had a guy like you that had, I mean, I can only imagine.
I was like, I think I stormed down the hallway and just took a walk because I was like, this isn't good. So
that's amazing. That's amazing. And then
Sam, golly.
Sam left it. But I tell you what, what a great career you've had to this point. And like I said, many around the area, you're a humble, quiet guy, and I think around St. Charles, I'm not going to lie to you, Pat Steinhoff's out and about, and I know a lot of people, and I try to lift everybody up. I try to be a good dude, and I want to thank you first off for your friendship. I've come to you with many questions being a young coach, early in my days, and I watch a lot of what you do, and I'm jealous of a lot of what you do. But I think, with Coach Foster and yourself and me around the area, I think any kid that goes to any of our high schools, is going to be blessed with a good coach.
Right, I agree. I totally agree.
We're all kids first. We're in it for a reason. And I think many of us Like you said earlier, you know, once we got into it, the families and relationships we have are going to keep us where we're at because right. we don't want to disappoint others. You know, I always tell people I keep doing what I do because I love it. But at the same time, it's for all those that I've coached or for the school that did so much for me. And I think we all would be a little remorse if we just left.
Yeah, it just would be hard.
It's to because so much because the people have done so much for us.
Right. It's become a family for me.
So, it has. In a lot of ways. It's a great deal, and we'll continue this throughout. And Lou, do you have anything else for tonight?
No. Nope.
You know, but what a different audience we're going to reach tonight as far as, you know, getting out to the Duchenne people. And thanks to all the alums who have reached out. And I think this is going to be something that you probably don't even know, but it's going to hit the Facebook market. And I think it's something that a lot of your players will really enjoy hearing the amount of effort. And one thing, Coach, that I want to tell you before we leave is everybody I talked to on the text message or phone calls that we talked to gave a couple words, you know, to me was, you're prepared, you're a good dude, and they wouldn't have never played for anybody else. So I think that's...
I appreciate that. So I got there's a few guys out there I didn't think would ever talk to me when they graduated.
Well, we're not going to talk about the all-time grab-ass team like we did with our other St. Charles West, you know, group, but I'm sure there always are, but... you're a winner, and like I said, you're just an exceptional dude who's been very good to me, so I appreciate that, and thanks again for joining us tonight.
I really appreciate you having me. It's been fun.
It's been fun. I think next week, I think we do have, who do we got next week? Maybe possibly Foster next week?
Yeah, I think
To round out our St. Charles talk, and then, you know, like I said, in the future, if anybody wants to sponsor our program first, it's, you know, just reach out to us at CoachSteinhoff@hotmail.com. We're looking for sponsors, throughout the next several months. We have Coach Foster, Coach Walsh from Vianney. We have Mr. Soderman from Liberty, I think. And then our big one here later on in the year is going to be Mr. Real Time Update. So to get him on, you know, late in the year and just kind of pick his brain about...
He'll be doing Real Time Updates during the podcast.
I don't know how he has the energy to do what he does. So yeah. This is Chuck and
Lou.